It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Look at me, William. Look at
me. Yes, I'm looking.
Walton Goggins. Goggle glasses.
What?
Did I stutter? It kind of sounded like it, didn't it? Because of the way the words are. Walton Goggins. Goggle glasses. I watch, as we all know, I'm obsessed with the McElroys. I listen to My Brother and Me. I listen to Adventure Zone. And I watch their every week YouTube live stream. I don't watch the live stream, but I watch the recording of it. The McElroy Family Clubhouse. And they took a little break of that over the holidays, and they came back, and on screen are all three of them, and two of them who don't normally wear glasses, or who normally just wear regular glasses like this, are wearing these weird sort of mirror shade things. And Griffin explains that his brother Justin got him as a present Walton Goggins goggle glasses. Well, and so I went online, because I'm like, this is just funny sounding, but I'm like, it's not real, right?
Right.
No, it is real.
It is real?
Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses is a business that sells goggle glasses and is officially endorsed by Walton Goggins. It's real.
Okay, I've got to look it up right now. I'm sorry.
Do it. Do it. No, I'm Walter, I understand. Walton Goggins.
Sorry. Walton. I always do that. I know. I always do that to his name.
Poser.
I know. Isn't that awful?
Only the real fans pay attention. Now call him Walter.
Glasses by Walton Goggins. Stylish goggle glasses. And that's him. He's like modeling them on the front of the website.
It's Walton Goggins goggle glasses.
Oh, no.
It absolutely sounded like the kind of thing they would make up. But I was like, I mean, you can't get in trouble. They've done it before with Paul Dano and cooking equipment that wasn't real. But they said this, and he had some, so I was like, what the? And so I looked it up. Yeah, it's a real thing. And for those of you who are like, what the fuck are goggle glasses? I can't really help you, except I can say they appear to be sunglasses that look way more like the masks you would wear on skiing, like over the top of your balaclava or whatever. But mostly it's just sunglasses that have a strap so they won't fall off. But they tend to be like big mirror shade look. Like they love Walton Goggins and buy what you want. They look dumb as hell to me.
Yeah, why would you wear these?
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to bum out Mr. Goggins' business. Sorry. I don't want to bum out Oscar winner Walton Goggins.
And they're
which
not
I heard
cheap.
And I was like, oh, good for him. And then I was like, wait, when the fuck did Walton Goggins win an Oscar?
Yeah, when did he?
Long time ago, when he wasn't even that famous, he produced an award-winning short film that won an Oscar. I forget what it was called, but he didn't act in it or anything. He produced it. He was an actor. It wasn't like before his acting career, but just back in the day, he did. It's very similar to like Jim Rash is an Oscar winner, but not for the thing he does, which is comedy. He wrote a screenplay that won an Oscar. It's one of those. Like,
oh,
he won it, but not for being Walton Goggins.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. This came up in this, so just found out all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't like them, and they're really expensive too. Oh, why would you?
They're dumb as hell. But they're out there, and two of them have been sold to the Macro Brothers.
So this isn't a new concept. In my life, since the 80s even, I've seen people wear things similar to this. And all those people were brutally ridiculed. I'm just going to say that. You know, people with straps on connected to their glasses, or having glasses that are more goggle-like than... this is the thing that I've seen in my lifetime, and nobody has, except for the people wearing them, most people around them are not only not impressed by them, but they usually tease that person relentlessly for how dumb they look.
Maybe, just saying. Maybe this is the deal. Maybe we're assuming that the extreme unlimited cachet that Walton Goggins holds right now in everyone's heart, including Williams.
Yeah, I like Walton Goggins a lot.
Is enough to leverage this into being respectable fashion? If the world's like, Walton Goggins loves it, it must be cool. I mean, it's not working on me.
No, me neither.
Maybe that's what they're going for? I don't.
Now, here, I have to say that the ability to say the whole thing, Walton Goggins, goggle glasses. I mean, that is fun. It is fun, and it would be kind of fun to say you own something like that.
That's the thing. It's fun enough, it makes me want to buy them so I can be like, you know what these are?
Yeah.
And like, I'm almost there, and I feel like I'm a hard sell on this kind of shit. Yeah. So if I'm almost there.
A little bit. But no, it doesn't get me over the line at all, really.
No, but it probably means there are throngs of people who did go.
That's true. Especially someone who thinks they've got the money to spare, which I don't. But
well, and again, they remind me of like when you're... I think there are certain athletic endeavors where these would be ideal.
Yes, I can see.
And I think people wear similar ones now. It very much makes me think of skiers.
Skiers, yeah. Where, I mean,
have the balaclava, and then you just have the goggles you would put. They kind of look like protective goggles in a lab, except they're mirror shade kind of thing. Yeah,
but the skiing thing is what I'm thinking about. But they're clearly marketing them for wear during other, especially since you can take
just
the straps
sunglasses
off. You can take the straps off apparently and just put regular. They seem to be suggesting you can wear these wherever you would wear sunglasses, like you just said. I don't think so. A goggle, snow goggle, sure. But just walking down the street somewhere, I just don't think so. Ooh. Now, here's the thing, though. If this was like wearable technology or something, then it would be a little different. Because I can imagine wearable technology looking a little like this, or them making it look like this because they want it to look cool or something.
Walton Goggins Google Glasses.
Well, so like, I know someone who has those Ray-Bans that are like, you know, that take pictures and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that got it.
And they're actually very good looking Ray-Bans. But I don't think I would ever. I don't want technology on my face, honestly. I just don't.
The shitty thing Google made that was called Google Glass, mm-hmm. right?
Google Glass, yeah.
I just had an epiphany. Or a realization, I guess.
Mm.
I assumed they called it Google Glass because the whole idea was it's sort of an AR thing, and we wanted to evoke transparency.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. What are these?
Glasses. Yeah.
So what's this?
A monocle?
No, but it's a glass. I wonder if, because it is one eye.
Is it
called Google Glass because it's singular of glasses?
I don't know.
It could be true. And if true, it's incredibly stupid. But like,
yeah,
that's
it was just the
totally
one
could
side.
be a thing, right?
Yeah, because there was just the one side, a little thing, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. It was half a pair of glasses.
Half a pair of
therefore
glasses.
A glass. Because when I said Walton Goggins Google Glasses, I'm like, but it was called Google Glass. I'm like, yeah, and it was only half the side. I was like, oh my God, is that why? That's so dumb.
I didn't think of that. That's interesting.
I didn't either until this exact moment. I wonder if that is... I mean, it could be a little of both. Who knows? But yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Are you... Would you... Oh, sorry.
Hello, everyone. Sorry,
interrupted
you.
I know, I can't ask now.
Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is a true source of comprehensive, intelligent, unbiased journalism. You can only find your truth here. You cannot trust other news sources. You cannot trust your loved ones. You cannot trust your own instincts. We are not for entertainment purposes only. We will tell you the truth, nothing but the truth, the whole truth. Believe in us. Or ignore us at your peril. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 724. So, again, I've seen these Ray-Bans, and they're not dissimilar from what you wear, so I think they would look great on you. Would you wear technology, you know, glasses? Is that a thing you would do?
Pass.
Okay.
No. That is my answer, and here's why.
Okay.
The answer to absolutely every one of these things when it comes to a technology is, we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
If people do it and they're like, these are awesome, and they grow in popularity and reliability and functionality, yeah. But you know me, I'm never going to be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I, with all technologies, I wait to see, A, if they're a success. If I was interested in whatever the functionality is, then maybe I get them. That's usually what happens with gaming consoles and stuff. Once they've been out a while and we've patched them up and they work and we've got a good size of game, I always wanted to get that console, so I get that console. When it comes to other stuff, I may or may not be interested. And then it's a matter of, A, it gains popular, and B, people around me are like, you should try this. I think you would really get use out of this. And then I might try it. But yeah, I can see that. I mean, it feels like it's sort of an unavoidable direction the technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the most functional thing, is you want to be able to not have to look away or things like that. That and as much as you can do minimizing the haptic function, I would think those are the two arcs that the technology is going to go one way or another someday.
Mm-hmm. I think there are some people who have privacy concerns, because I mean these just look like Ray-Bans, but you could record or take pictures. I mean, you kind of have to touch your the edge of them, but I mean, it just looks like a person's adjusting their glasses and they're taking pictures, right? So some people are concerned about that. I don't know
well
how I feel about that either, but
I should say this. There is nothing about this technology that tells me you need to change the laws, because every individual U.S. state has laws about recording somebody, audio or visual, and who needs to know legally and who doesn't and all that. And I can't see why that would need to change because of these.
Yeah,
but
I agree with that.
Correct in that. Enforcement becomes more of a concern because it's harder to spot.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I mean, people have always had different ways of doing hidden cameras, and technically there's nothing illegal about it, except insofar as potentially recording somebody without their consent when that is legally required.
But also causing harm by what you do with the material, right?
Yeah. I mean, but again, that's not specifically about you had super cool glasses.
Correct. You caused harm. That's what the problem is. Right.
And I always have loved I wouldn't do it, obviously, for so many reasons. I always have loved that idea of, we replace one eye with a camera.
Mm.
And you can, like, look at what you're looking at. I always thought that, and that's closer to that. So I like that concept.
But mm.
I don't know. I'm going to be very curious as to how the development of assisted reality technology. I do find AR very interesting.
Yeah, me too.
But too much nowadays is just AR for AR's sake. I like there's most augmented reality that I have heard about is what I would call proof of concept. There's nothing that is actually created yet that I'm like, oh, that's really useful.
Right.
Like there's a bunch of potential ideas that are really useful. Mm-hmm. We haven't made them yet. So yeah, I'm very curious. I'm at an age now where I'm really fascinated to look back at technology that exists now that didn't when I was younger. Because I've now been alive long enough. And I think I've talked about before, medical technology is a huge one. It's amazing the shit you can fix and cure that when I was in college would have just been like, oh no, you're dead. Or, oh no, we're cutting off your leg. Or like yeah. all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And just a few things in terms of assumptions. I mean, there a series of books that were my favorite books for a while, but I think are pretty problematic and awful now and would never read again, so I'm not even going to mention them, has one of the major conceits being that nerves cannot regrow. And I was always told that to be true. And we're at a point now where we're like, actually, they can. It's slow and hard and doesn't happen always, but it can happen. And I actually think I have personally experienced some of that myself, having to do with my spinal surgery and issues I had afterwards that are now gone much later. So I find that stuff fascinating.
It is fascinating. I mean, it, you know, now that we're of a certain age, we can look back and go, my gosh, we remember like vividly, like not with shadows and we really have to think about it, but we remember vividly a time before cable TV. Right? We probably remember vividly. Well, I'm not sure how much you remember this vividly, but I do, a time before even VCRs. I mean, I remember this stuff very vividly. So it's like,
no, yep. You're old.
Okay. So
I think my family was a little late to VCRs. But
so, like, so yeah, I remember.
I do remember when there were three TVs in my house. And the biggest one was about a 13-inch screen, and that was also the only one that was in color. The other two were, I'm gonna guess, 8-inch screens and black and white, and they all had dials. Nobody had remotes. It was a pretty big deal when we got our first TV with a remote, which was like a 20-inch color TV with a remote. A remote that was about as big and heavy as my phone.
Right. Well, I remember remotes that were literal clickers. I mean, that's how they worked. Sound. You could ring a bell and you could change the channel on your TV.
We didn't own one, but I encountered it at other places. Did you ever run into a wired TV remote?
I saw them, but we never had one.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah. So like,
we're so old.
I remember when it was the norm to go watch a movie and expect you may never see it again, or watch a TV show and expect you may never see it again. Although syndication. Yeah. Okay. So maybe we'll see it in reruns or something, but also maybe not, because if you weren't home when it aired in syndication, or if it didn't air in your area in syndication, you were never going to see it again. So yeah, you only saw things once and you were used to that. That's what was normal. It's weird.
I have a fun game now of TV shows I watched in my childhood. Was I actually watching the shows as they aired, or was I watching syndicated reruns? Because I thought I was watching new episodes of Gilligan's Island, but Gilligan's Island went off the air long before I was born. But then like literally last night, the new Secret Galaxy video is about Dukes of Hazzard. And I watched Dukes of Hazzard all the time as a kid. And now, like, knowing the years and stuff, because I learned it from that, I'm like, some of them were probably new, but I think a lot of them were probably old. And yeah. And there were some that I saw many times, things like that.
Yeah, I was old enough to see A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard when they first came out.
Yeah, A-Team also, I think some of A-Team I watched as it came out, but definitely not all of it.
Yeah.
Well, and back in the day, we had TV and shows aired once a week, or sometimes 5 days a week for like cartoons and shit like that. And they just aired the reruns when they weren't airing new episodes. So I watched a lot of things more than once because I watched that show every week at this time. And if it was an old one, I'd be like, oh, it's this one. And we'd watch it. MASH. MASH was the earliest I can remember of my family's appointment television.
Television, yeah.
MASH. Hmm. Later, we would have things like Cosby Show was huge for my family. And Star Trek The Next Generation for a long time was again, the whole family would get together and watch it. But MASH is the one I remember most clearly.
Hmm. Well, now, even when VCRs came out, not everything was on tape, especially not TV shows. And many movies weren't. Disney was notorious for not releasing a whole bunch of old stuff.
The fucking Disney Vault.
Vault.
Actually, yeah. I've learned all sorts of stuff about the history of Disney and how they handled that kind of bullshit.
Which, even back at the, in the day, I remember people thinking, wow, for as money-grabby as Disney, because we've always thought Disney was pretty money-grabby, to not release these things on video or whatever it was seemed really strange. And, you know...
See, and that didn't register for me until many years into adulthood. I just remember like, oh, it's going away. Like, but I was never that into like needing to own them. So, it made sense to me. Like, oh, and then they'll be in the vault. And it was only years later, I was like, they didn't have to do that, right?
No, like, no, they, and presumably, I mean, like, especially now. So like, there were a lot of people who thought you guys could be making tons of money by not doing, I mean, you're trying to make it worth more by making it rare or something, but that's really not how this...
artificial scarcity. I mean, it's a very common tactic that I've seen since then all over the place.
Sure, but it didn't seem like it was a thing that would make more money than just selling the crap out of the thing. And it's, that seemed their usual thing. So it's like, why don't you just do that? And now they are selling the crap out of it and they are making more money. So it's like, why didn't you just do this all along?
Well, because there's different buying models. And I think the argument is because the most common place you see this is limited time fast food things.
Well, yeah, like the McRib and stuff.
And I think the argument on those is if we had it all the time, you wouldn't be that into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But because we make it once in a while, you nostalgia again kicks in. Oh, that thing again. And then you go have it again. It worked on me. The McRib is a great example. That worked on me with the McRib for many, many years. It has only been in the last few years that I remember, actually, I don't think the McRib's very good, so I don't think I'm going to bother. It was a thing that would get me.
But Disney movies are not like the McRib, because people are having kids all the time. And those kids like watching Disney movies. It's like, there's never a time where a Disney movie is not going to appeal to a significant portion of, you know, the child population and their parents.
Well, I think they misread the VHS boom in a certain way.
Who knows? Maybe.
Maybe it's just enough stuff that they're like, maybe they literally are like, oh, sales of Snow White are dipping. Stick it in the vault.
Well, here's another thing too, is they're constantly competing with themselves, right? Like we want everyone to go out and see this new Disney movie, but we don't want them to stay home watching an old Disney movie, right? So maybe that's part of it too, because they are constantly, like, when you look at the movie schedule for a year and you look at when Disney releases movies, it's like, oh wait, is this Marvel movie competing with this Star Wars movie or competing with this Disney Princess movie? It's hard for them to not compete with themselves when they release a film, you know, and they're looking for a big headline about the weekend and doing well and stuff.
They just had a pitch meeting video for Moana 2. And I was like, I didn't know that was out yet. But it's been out long enough that he did a pitch meeting for it. So
yeah. I think it did really well. It's done well.
I have issues with Disney. But this reminds me, for you, Defunct Land put out a new video like a week ago or something. And I am in the process of watching it because it's like an hour and a half long, or hour 45. It's the history of animatronics.
Oh.
And I think you would love it. Because, first of all, the history of animatronics is way more complicated than you realize, as is often the case with these. But the first chapter, which is 20 minutes long, is the history of the automaton and the concept of the automaton.
Well, that goes like, back a ways.
We don't reach Walt Disney until 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
We go back as far as ancient Egypt and the base of puppets. Apparently they made giant puppets of their gods and they would talk to supplicants and things. Mm-hmm. But then they get into the concept of automatons, the word root, and then the different things over the years, because there is a history of people trying to create artificial beings and
going way back.
And certain kinds were easier to do mechanically and some were harder. And it's just really fascinating. And then all the Disney stuff is fascinating as well. So it, again, I think it's good. People should watch it, but you specifically, I think, would really like it. So check
that out. Is interesting how the animatronic, like if you go back to the very earliest automatons, which are ancient, it's almost a whole separate thing than, say, artificial intelligence, for example.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because, or even modern robotics, because the automaton is, I mean, sometimes they're like supposed to be look like real people and look like they're real people doing real things, but that's also a little bit beside the point for animatronics, even though clearly automaton technology is going to have some impact, I would think, on robotics. They're really doing very different things. It's really interesting. It's very interesting how I think some people would assume they're the same, but they're not.
The overarching evolution of the term automaton and its definition, the advent of the name robot, which came out of a Russian play called
play,
R-U-R. And then the point at which the definition split into, we call these kind of things robots and we call these kind of things androids, and what that means. But yeah. The Disney section also goes through in shocking detail, the evolution of the technology, in that how they did it originally, and then using old reel-to-reel tape with silver paint on it to make solenoids go. I learned all about solenoids. I learned about camshafts in like really interesting, because for a long time it was all done on camshafts, like back in the old time or whatever, but you were limited by the size, and so then they got with solenoids, but solenoids didn't have a lot of power, and then they developed things that made it easier to trigger solenoids and more on a single tape, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, I do. Like, I am interested
in a deeply nerd kind of way, but this is your nerd shit right here. So
I know that sounds wonderful.
This is your jam. You should go check it out.
They released this when? Because I didn't see
a few weeks ago. I mean, it's Defunctland. At this point, Defunctland puts out a video every six. It's Jenny Nicholson time, basically. Yeah. Every 4 months to a year, Defunctland puts out a new video. But nowadays, every video is like 1.5 to 4 hours long and is insanely meticulously researched.
Yeah, it's a bona fide documentary, really.
To the degree that I watch other YouTubers talk, like I saw somebody who did a whole rant on how YouTube videos are getting stupidly long and filled and everything, and they were like, I'm not saying everybody, and they specifically twigged Jenny Nicholson and Defunctland as, when I see them put out a 3-hour video, I'm excited. Because it's not filler. I know it actually takes that long for the information that they have carefully found and analyzed in these ways.
Yeah,
which, if you never watched Jenny Nicholson's take on the Star Wars Hotel, you should absolutely watch that too. That's amazing. It's huge. It's one of her bigger videos, but it's
great. She is super insightful about this stuff. Like,
yes.
I don't know how she got to know so well how theme parks in general really work.
Well, she's just a big nuthead. I mean, you should see her with the Evermore stuff. Like, she's a big theme park freak. Yeah. And unlike you, she's a big theme park freak who goes to theme parks. as opposed to you who just admires them from afar. Basically.
Pretty much. I do admire them from afar.
I can't tell you how much my estimation of you dropped the day I learned you'd never actually been to Cedar Point.
I've been to Cedar Point.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm. A couple times.
Well, now my estimation of you has raised again. Good job.
Yeah. The Millennium Force was out not long before I went last time, but I don't think I could handle roller coasters at Cedar Point now or really anywhere. But yeah, I've been to Cedar Point. And Six Flags, a few of the Six Flags parks.
How many? Six?
Well, I've been to the one in the Chicago area more than once, but it seems like I've been to another Six Flags one, but now I'm not remembering. I've been to Worlds of Fun in Kansas City. That's what I'm thinking of. So no, I've only been to the Six Flags in Chicago, unless I'm forgetting the other time. Could be forgetting it.
Poser.
I've been to Disney World at least twice. Again, it seems like there was one other time, but I can't remember.
He is really drunk. All right. We might not get to email. I saved things from last week because I didn't know. I should have allotted more time for Walton Goggins, Goggle Glasses. I should have known that was going to.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
But, all right. I watched some more movies.
Yeah, let's hear about your movies.
They're all horror movies. It's funny. We were kind of in a drought of horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly a bunch of ones are coming out. So yeah, we've had sort of a run on some good horror movies. Actually, two of these three are ones that we've been excited for and waiting to come out where we could see them, and then they did. So I'll talk about the other one first. Things Will Be Different.
Never heard of it.
We watched it on Prime. I can't remember if we spent a couple bucks or not. I think it might have been included with Prime. It's not a big movie. Here's what I will tell you. Benson and Moorhead, the guys who did The Endless and Something in the Dirt, they're a duo who's been making some really cool sort of indie horror films for a while now. They're the ones that did the one where everybody's in the time loop and whatever. They EP'd on this. They didn't make this, but they EP'd on this. Sorry. To some people, Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson will mean something. And you should be one of those people, and you should be ashamed that it doesn't.
Sorry. Sorry.
You've definitely seen some of their movies, or at least I've talked extensively about some of their movies. The rest of you can feel fine, but William should feel bad. Anyway, the movie is a brother and sister who do a robbing and hide out. They have learned of a way that they can hide out in a different time.
Mm.
And like wait until the heat dies down in their time and then go back. But then it turns out that maybe going back is not as simple as they first anticipated. Hijinks ensue. It is a very small movie. It takes place almost all in one house, and it takes place mostly with just the two cast members. We talk to people on phones and things, but that's about it. It's good, and here's the thing I would say. Not fussed about their time travel. Didn't bother me. Hmm. It's not perfect. It's one of those that it works probably because they didn't explain very much. It's one of those kind.
Right.
But it definitely appears to be a fixed – well, no, it's not a fixed point. Yeah, no. But I'm not particularly fussed about their time travel. So that was pleasant. It's intriguing. It's a neat idea. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't get answered. We're dealing a lot in sort of symbolism. So certain things are like, you know, it's this kind of thing. It's not great. Again, you can totally skip it, but it's rare to have one of these kind of movies that's like, here's what I say about it. The premise, the setting, the whole vibe of it. I would have liked them to have told it in a different way. This is not the movie I wanted given these pieces, but it's a perfectly good movie. It's just, if I was going to make this movie, I would have, it's me, I would have arced it more in a lore direction and less about, you know, it's the same reason I have no interest in the Quiet Place movies. The Quiet Place movies are about human relationships and the struggle in terrible, unimaginable conditions. And that's a really laudable thing, and it is absolutely not why I watch horror movies.
Right, right.
I'm like, you tell me where those monsters come from, why they're like this, what they do, what their end goal is, do they have a queen, all that. That's the shit I want to know about. And so even though it it probably would have made the time travel much worse, like I would have been way more interested in the structures that the movie implies exist that we don't learn a lot about.
Yeah, right, right.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like it. It's a fun little just sort of, like, it's not quite a bottle movie, but it's very much just sort of these people, and it's very much a what's going on. And you eventually figure out what's going on. There's broader questions of, like, why is it going on? Who's doing, like, that you don't get answered. But, and it was one of those that, like, afterwards, a little while later, I had one of those, like, oh, that's why that was like that. So that's fun. It's fun. I talked about it too much already. It's not worth that much.
What's it called again?
Things Will Be Different. Oh. Which is a name that makes absolutely no sense until the end. When they say it. At one point, they say it. Just, you're like, I was like, that's the name of the movie. Because I can't. I prefer that reference rather than the, I occasionally have tried to do the Leonardo DiCaprio whistle meme from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You seen this? You're not up on your meme culture?
Not that one, no.
There's a little cut where they're watching something on TV and they're looking, he and Brad Pitt are looking for something, and it happens, and he looks up and he's like, he whistles and he points and like clicks his finger at it. Oh. And it is frequently used as a meme to point out something that is incredibly obvious. So it's another version of that's the name of the movie kind of thing, except it's broader than that. But like, that's where you use that meme. And so I can't get really good at it because I can't get the whistle right. So I stick with just that's the name of the movie.
Ryan George.
Anyway.
You said the thing in the movie.
Exactly. He's from, I did, there was one Star Wars one where they had a couple of cameos of like famous characters, like Luke's, maybe it was from Mandalorian, and then Luke Skywalker, and one time Darth Vader was visible, and he said he's from, and he went with like the most obscure, like with Luke Skywalker, he's like, he's from the Star Wars holiday special. And I think, right. I think Darth Vader, he was like, he's from Solo, a Star Wars story. And he's like, actually, sir, that's the only one he's not in. So I do like when they do that. We watched Cuckoo last night, which we've been very excited for.
I'm not sure I know that one either.
It's one of those that you see it and you're like, this is creepy. I don't know what's going on. And it's probably one of those movies that's better not to know what's going on. Mostly it had Dan Stevens as a character who looks like he's probably going to be the villain. And I love Dan Stevens, and I especially love Dan Stevens as a bad guy. He's so good. Just nomming on scenery. I love him to death, especially if you give him a weird accent, which they did. He's German in this, and his German accent slips, but weirdly it slips more into American, because he's real good at an American accent, even though he's British. So that cracked me up. But no, this is one of those that it's better the less you know going in. But here's what I will say. our POV is a young woman named Gretchen who is 17. We learn this. We don't know, but at some point they say you're going to be 18 soon. So whatever. She, her father, her father's new wife, and their new 8-year-old child go to an Alps resort to live. This is an Alps resort that mother and wife have been to before, and they fell in love with the place, and they fell in love with the owner, and the owner has hired them to design and oversee construction on a new expansion to the resort. Our POV has at the last minute decided to come and stay with her father, whereas previously she lived with her mother.
Okay.
Our POV hates it here. And then weird things start happening. And we deal a lot. It does the thing of she sees weird things and tells people, and people don't believe her or think she's acting up and things like that. And, but weird, freaky shit is happening.
Hmm.
And you will learn what that weird, freaky shit is.
Hmm.
Didn't do it for me. Trish liked it.
Okay.
I don't think she loved it, but she liked it. I think I really would have been uninterested if Dan Stevens wasn't there. He elevates the whole thing immensely. But
okay.
The phrase I would use is not compelling. The movie brings up a lot of questions in the vein of what the fuck is happening.
Right.
It doesn't answer all of them in a way that annoys me a little bit. But more than that, I didn't actually care about any of the answers.
Oh,
like, it's weird enough that I might have been prompted. Sometimes I do this when a movie's real weird and there's certain things I just don't get. I immediately pull up Wikipedia and see if, like, their plot synopsis will shed some light. And often it does. Haven't bothered with this one. Like, I have a lot of questions. Don't care. You have not put me in a place where I actually am interested.
Wow.
But Trish enjoyed it. So, and I didn't hate it. Like, I'm not sorry I saw it or anything, but yeah, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
All right. And the final movie we need to discuss is a movie new to Shudder. And we're very excited because it's a smaller sort of British film. And sometimes those don't make it here. There's a couple of movies. There's a movie called Tales from the Lodge, and there is a relatively new movie called Time Stalker, both of which we would really like to see, and both of which my Roku TV and none of the streaming services, none of them have even heard of the movies. Mm. Roku used to know Time Stalker, and now it doesn't anymore. And it just doesn't get licensed over here, and it sucks. And we thought this might happen with this movie, and it didn't, so we're very excited for that. The movie is called Getaway. It is a horror comedy, and it stars Nick Frost of Nick Frost and Simon Pegg fame.
Yeah.
And Aisling Bea, who is an Irish comedian that Trish and I adore.
Okay.
But we mostly know her from panel shows and things like that. She was in a season of Taskmaster and from her stand-up. She has done other things. She was in some TV show opposite Paul Rudd a while back that I can't remember. And she does. She's really sort of starting to make it into a broader Hollywood career. But so it's the two of them and their two older teen kids are going to stay on an island. They have rented an Airbnb, essentially, on an island off the coast of Sweden. And it's an island with a lot of old and strange traditions. It's an island with a terrible past that it potentially involved murdering a lot of people. It's an island that doesn't like outsiders. And it's an island that is celebrating the 200th anniversary of its very bad thing right now. And everyone not on the island is like, you shouldn't go there. They're not gonna want you. It's gonna be bad. And they're like, no, it's our vacation. And they go there, and everybody on the island is like, you shouldn't be here. Get the fuck off. And they're like, it's our vacation. And the only person who doesn't say that is the dude who rented them the Airbnb.
I was just gonna and ask about like, that dude.
That's the thing. And he shows up, and all the other people are like, how could you do this without talking to the commune? And he's like, we're still in the nation of Sweden. I own the house. I can do whatever the hell I want with it. Like, you can't, you don't have the legal authority to stop these people from being here, but they don't like it, and they're going to let them know. And so, okay. So now you know how the movie goes.
Okay.
What I will say is there's some twists.
Oh.
That are different. It is a very silly comedy. Like, you can't take anything serious. You can't do a lot of asking questions about certain things. I don't, you know how there are movies and you're like, where did they get all the ammo? How do they keep shooting without reloading?
This movie
has a little bit of that involving knives.
Oh, okay.
Like, people just keep leaving knives and then they have knives again. I'm like, so many knives. Why do you have this many knives? Like, it has shit like that, but it's goofy. It's fun. But yeah, it has some twists you don't necessarily see coming. It is very gory in a way you would in a way you would expect from an over the top horror comedy. So those are all the things I say about it, and based on that picture, that should tell everybody if they want to see it. Like, if that sounds good to you, watch it. If that sounds stupid and wouldn't like it, you can skip it. It's fine. It's a good movie. I had fun. You don't gotta watch it. It's not. It hasn't changed my life, but it's fun. And it had twists. Like, you totally, because like I said, like, you were grinning as soon as I started describing it, because you knew what movie it was. Like, this is not an original concept. This movie does some things with it. Nothing where you're like, oh my god, but like fun twists that make it not the same movie you're expecting. Okay. And that's fun.
Yeah.
And they do a good job. So that was a good time. I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate, but I won't be now, because when this airs, I will be coming back from a week in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because me and my sister-in-law and my wife are doing the usual birthday trip that we've been doing in recent years, up to a big house in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So we're going to do that. And so I'm not taking my Xbox, but I am taking my Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
So probably what I'm going to be playing is, I have Hades on there. I want to play more Hades. I just bought Dave the Diver, which is a little indie game that shocked everybody by being hugely popular, in which you play a deep fishing diver who looks very similar to me in both build and facial thing, but it's done in pixel art. And basically the game is, you spend the day hunting fish, and then you spend the night managing the sushi restaurant that sells the fish you caught.
Yeah, you told me about that, yeah.
I've never tried it, but it's just hugely popular, and it was on sale, and I saw it, and I grabbed it, so I'm playing that. And then the other one, and this is because I watched some old OX videos and got nostalgic, but I bought the whatever the most recent Mario Golf is, because it seems like fun, and also, too many of my Switch games I only play while I'm traveling and not the rest of the time, and that seems like a game that could be really fun for about a week.
Right.
Never again. And we could, me and the girls could play co-op and stuff like that, so we'll see. But so yeah, that'll be what my business is there. So yeah, you and I won't talk for a while, so that'll probably be good for me. I'll probably be in good spirits by that point. Let's see.
Well, yeah, your birthday will be over by the time people see this, but for me, your birthday's in a few days, you know.
That's true.
5 days, so
4 days, something like that. Yeah,
happy birthday.
21.
You're the 21st.
And then my sister-in-law is 22.
Right.
So I'm turning, how old am I turning?
I can figure it out real quick because you were born in 77. So
there you go.
That means you'll be 50 in 2 years. So you must be turning 48.
Exactly. My father would never tell us how old anybody is. He'd just tell us the year. And it annoyed the shit out of me. And now I'm so grateful. Because I can't ever remember how old anybody is, but I have in here the year many people were born. My dad was born in 34. My mom was born in 43. My wife was born in 72, which is very useful to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great with my brother and sister, if I'm honest. And I was born in 77. So yeah,
Trish is the same age as my youngest brother. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same
Trish is within 1 year of my friend Stacy, who's my massage therapist for, we recently figured that out. Who hurt herself again, so I had to see a different massage therapist, which was interesting because she was very young and reminded me some of Stacy when I started seeing her was about this age, because it's been almost 20 years. So it's very interesting to see a fresh-faced young 32-year-old massage therapist and how they're different.
It's always funny to hear about how, I mean, your parents, like, you know, you're 8 years younger than me, but your parents are significant. Like, your mom is a year older than my mom.
Yeah. And my dad was 41 when I was born.
Yeah. Your dad.
But also keep in mind, the next oldest child, I'm the youngest, and the next oldest is 9 years away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because my parents got married in 76. I don't know why, because my mother was always concerned with certain scandal things, but from a very young age, they would show me the wedding photos and say, and there you are, and point to my mom's stomach, because she was like 4 months pregnant with me when they got married. And it wasn't like a scandal, but it wasn't. At the time period, it was still, like, I'm sure some people thought it was a scandal.
Probably back then.
But apparently they were very open about it, because I was like, and that's actually how I started keeping track of how many years my parents had been married, because I'm like, well, how old am I?
Hmm.
All right. If it's after September and before January, add one to that. If not, it's just however old I am.
Right. That's funny.
But yeah, my parents were very old. I had very old parents. They weren't old when they had their other kids, but they were very old. And a lot of their raising of me reflects that.
Mm-hmm.
They very much had like grandparent energy when they were raising me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they were just like, we've seen it, we've done it, we don't care anymore, it's fine, relax, right. You're not gonna explode.
Right.
So that was interesting. All right. I'm sick of your face. So let's get out of here. We're over time. All right. I know we didn't do emails the last 2 weeks. We got to catch up. You and I got to do pancakes again. Solve this problem. We can bleed off all that extra energy.
Yeah.
And then we can do the emails. But do please, we appreciate and we use the emails. So please email us themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. You can make them anonymous. Just say up top it's anonymous. Whatever you want. But also go to the blog at magicaltalkinghead.com, smash that like button, and keep buying the merch, and keep distributing the tapes, and stay vigilant. All sleeper cells maintain position. That's all for the notice.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.